delighted to be able to bring that presentation to you tonight. We wish that the Tignor family could have been here with us in person, but very grateful for the privilege to be able to present to you what the Lord has done through them there in Ecuador. I appreciate that country so much. We've had the opportunity through different missions trips and events and seeing our own missionaries on the field to be down in the country of Ecuador several times. And it is a field whitened all ready to harvest. And I pray that we will be doing all that we can to reach that great nation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate the sending church of the Tignor family, Landmark Baptist Church down in Richmond, Virginia, a sister church here in this area. So thankful for the Sumter family. And we were indeed sorrowful of the homegoing of Brother Don Sumter, but grateful that their son has taken the pastorate there. And we are continuing to pray for the Landmark Baptist Church and the ministry there with their school and everyone involved. Reminder for our church family that tomorrow's been designed as a national day of prayer. And so I hope you'll spend time as you normally would on your knees or in your car with your head bowed and just praying to the Lord for direction, for the national leadership that we have, for our state leadership, and praying that God would guide and direct through this difficult time. If you would, take your Bibles tonight and go with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we want to spend a few moments in the Word of God together tonight. We are working our way through these final lessons of the Lord Jesus Christ. These final lessons are found in chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. And we've reached the end of chapter 15. If you would, begin reading with me in John chapter 15, in verse number 22. John 15, verse number 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon these verses as we study this tonight in our Wednesday evening service. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for the privilege that I've had to study through these verses and to be able to prepare for tonight's message. I pray that you would work in my heart, even as I deliver the theme of this passage. I pray for each one that's watching right now. I know these aren't ideal circumstances, but I'm so thankful that we can still learn from your writing and your word. And I pray that we grow from it. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would continue to take the Word of God to make each one of us as children of God more like the very Son of God. Would you direct my thinking tonight? Would you direct my speech? I pray that everything would be done in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray your hand of blessing upon the message tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've looked at several high points from these two chapters thus far. Chapters 14 and 15, again, considering these final lessons of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen promises. We've seen the power of Almighty God. We've seen the prayer that's been offered up and the challenge to prayer for each believer. We've been challenged to love God. We've been challenged to love His commandments. And we've, of course, been challenged to love other people. We've seen the integral nature of the Trinity actively at work in and through the life of the believer. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all active in the life of the believer. We now come to close out this chapter with truths that are related to both the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was a life of perfection. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ lived a life without sin. The Bible says he knew no sin, that he might be made sin for us. Now, his life and death provides for us the path for all men to have eternal life. And everything that he did in his death, burial, and resurrection points us to the necessity of a vicarious atonement for the sins of mankind. But we want to learn tonight from his life and from all that his life means to us. The first point is very simple tonight, and we find it here in these verses 22 to 24. And I'll start out this point by making this statement. If I had not, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to fill in two blanks for us. And he says here in these verses, if I had not come and if I had not done. And so we want to look at those two things tonight in this first point. If I had not. Let's fill in the first blank. If I had not come. Would you look at verses 22 and 23 with me? Verses 22 and 23. First of all, the Lord says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not, the first word is come. If the Lord Jesus Christ had not come, the first aspect of this is that man does not understand the nature of his standing before Almighty God. The Bible says they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. I want to go through a couple of passages tonight that kind of reveal to us the nature of mankind, and we put that in contrast to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Christ lived without sin. He was entirely perfect. He knew no sin. But what is true in my life? What is true in your life? Well, first of all, the Bible says in John 3 and verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So that describes my life before Christ came, before he came into my heart, before he came into my life. The wrath of God was abiding on me. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 19. Listen to this description. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So again, how does the Bible describe us before Christ? It describes us as abiding under the wrath of God. It describes us as being guilty before God. Our mouth is stopped. There's nothing that we can say in our defense. And the Bible says, if I had not come, this would have been the continuing position of the sinner. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. This is the testimony of Paul as to why he was sent forth. He was to go forth to open the eyes of the unbeliever and to bring them out of darkness. One commentator said it this way. This world stands guilty of the greatest crime in the annals of time and eternity. The crime of turning its back on the incarnate Son of God, of nailing him to a cross, and of endorsing that crime generation after generation by ignoring God's word and persecuting his people. The result of this persistent hate is that the world stands exposed before God in all of its sin. If I had not come, the world stands in this position of condemnation. The world stands in this position of wrath. The world stands in this position of punishment and guilt. And this world stands in position of darkness. But the but Jesus Christ says he did come. If he had not come, the world is lost in that condition. Number two, if you'd notice with me, if I had not, and here's the next word, done. The first one, if I had not come, this would be the condition. And this is where they would be headed. But because I am come, eternal life is offered. Now he says, if I had not, here it is, done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if I had not come, if I had not done. What are the works of the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, it really is amazing to me that they could hate him so much. The Lord Jesus healed the blind. The Lord Jesus healed the sick. The Lord Jesus raised the lame. The Lord Jesus healed the deaf. The Lord Jesus healed the leper. Of all people, this man should have been beloved by everyone. Jesus Christ did so much for his fellow man. He reached out in so many different ways and met physical needs and healed people spiritually. And he says to them, if I had not done these works, there would be the condition of darkness. Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 24 speaks to the matter of what Jesus Christ did in the different cities. The Bible says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Jesus Christ declares to the disciples, if I had not come, this is the condition of mankind. And then he says to them, if I had not done among them all of these works, this is again the condition of mankind. So what is the outpouring of these two statements? If I had not come, or if I had not done. Jesus Christ, through both his words and his works, testified of the Father and of the need for each one to be redeemed. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus came that he might give to man life and that they might have it more abundantly. But look at the results. When Jesus came and when Jesus had done many mighty works, what does the Bible say? They hated him all the more. Jesus' life was a confrontation. His perfection was a confrontation of their sinfulness and of their lack of desire to be redeemed and to follow the proper way, truth, and life. And Jesus Christ in his life and with his labors and with all that he did in his speech and in his direction, all of it spoke to the greatness of God and to that greatness and the efficacy that could be there for the sins of mankind. And yet man hated Jesus Christ. Jesus says to us, if I had not come. Jesus says to us, if I had not done. The truth of the matter is, though, that Jesus Christ did come. And Jesus Christ has done many wonderful things. And so we transition these last three or so verses from if I had not come and if I had not done to four things that are true because Jesus Christ did come. Since I am come, there's some things that are definitely true for you today. For the disciples, these are some things that I want you to know. He says in verses 22, 23, 24, if I had not, now we move to verses 25, 26, and 27, since I am, and I'm going to fill in the blank with four different statements. Here we go, verse number 25. But this cometh to pass. Since I am come, since all of this has been fulfilled, since it has come to pass, if I had not come, these things would not be true. If I had not done, these things would not be true. But since all of this has come to pass, let me give you four things tonight that are true because of the Lord's coming. Number one, the word is fulfilled. The word is fulfilled. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. The word is fulfilled. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived a sinless life that he might meet the total demands of the law. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ spoke with the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. And the rich young ruler had a little bit of debate with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was going back and forth about how he was keeping the commandments to his satisfaction. And in the end, the Lord says this, if thou wilt be perfect. You see, as much as the man argued with the Lord Jesus Christ about why he deserved eternal life, the Lord Jesus knew that this man was not perfect and nothing short of perfection will ever enter heaven. And so the Lord says to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor and follow me. The truth of the matter is you and I will never meet the demands of perfection. And so we must turn our attention to someone who did make that possible, Jesus Christ. And he came to fulfill the word. He came not to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. God says that the law has been given that we might understand the nature of our sin, that we might understand the consequences of our sin. And Jesus Christ lived his life to fulfill every aspect of perfection and meeting the demands of the law. What does this mean when we speak of the word being fulfilled? Well, first of all the prophecies are fulfilled as they are given in the Old Testament. Over 400 different direct prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ are all fulfilled in his life, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Every single one of them. Jesus also met the demands by living a sinless life. He never sinned one time. The Bible says he was confronted by Satan. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And number three, the shedding of his blood is the necessary atonement for the sins of mankind. Jesus Christ gave his life willingly, and he gave it in such a way that it is a bleeding sacrifice, a blood-filled sacrifice that could wash away our sins. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus gave the perfect sacrifice, and his atoning work is the perfect substitution. You see, I am a sinner in need of a substitute. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross and fulfilled the demands of the law, fulfilled the word. He became sin for us Jesus died to take our place. Since he did come, number one, the word is fulfilled. Number two, they hated him without cause. Verse number 25, again, the Bible says they hated me without a cause. I've already spoken to this a little bit because it's there in those, in that first point. If I had not come, they would have done thus and so, but they've hated me and they've hated my Father. If I had not done, and if he had not done all these things, but they have hated me and they have hated my Father. All these statements are made because it is proof that they hated Jesus Christ without cause. There are two different times in the Psalms in which the psalmist prophesies about this matter. Psalm 35 and verse number 19, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without cause. Psalm 69 and verse number 4, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. Again, I've spoken to this in light of all that Jesus Christ did. Why was he not the most popular man walking on the earth? Here's the truth. They hated Jesus Christ because they did not want to repent and to follow him as the only way. They rejected the truth of Jesus Christ. They hated the fact that there was one way. And that one way was through his atoning work. Man said, I will not accept that. Man made a willful choice to go against the word, to go against Christ. And they hated the Lord Jesus Christ for it. His life, his testimony, everything that he did and everything that he said was a rebuke to those that clung to religion. Number one. Since he did come, the word is fulfilled. Number two, since he did come, they hated him without a cause. Number three, since he did come, verse number 26, the Father has sent the Spirit. In verse number 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Since Jesus Christ did come, the Father has sent the Spirit. You know, the Spirit points people to the Savior. We're reminded of that here in this passage when the Bible says he's the Spirit of truth. He proceeds from the Father and he will testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse number 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. It's interesting, again, as we consider the investment of the Trinity in the life of the gospel and the life of the believer. The Bible says that the Father sent the Son. The Bible says that the Son submitted to the will of the Father. And the Bible says when the Son ascended up into heaven, that the Father sent the Spirit as the down payment on the eternal life of the believer. He is our assurance. He is our earnest money, if you would. And the Bible says that the Father has sent the Spirit to bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever the Lord has testified. Now, my friend, I hope that you're in consistent, faithful communication with the Holy Spirit of God. You know that there's warfare that continues each and every day between our flesh and our spirit. And the Spirit is pointing you to the things of Jesus Christ. The Spirit desires to bring conviction to your life, to use the Word of God, to make you more like the Son of God. And because Jesus Christ has come and he has ascended, we have that earnest, that Spirit that is there with us each and every day. We know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then the fourth thing, since I am come, the Bible says the word is fulfilled. Since I am come, they've hated me without a cause. Since I am come, the Father would send the Spirit. And then number four, since I am come, ye are my witnesses. Would you look at verse number 27? And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Boy, what a tremendous opportunity to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 48, that Jesus said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Boy, we have a tremendous privilege. Having been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, having experienced the vicarious atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, having experienced the forgiveness of sins, we have the opportunity to be eyewitnesses of what Jesus has done. In the opening of this passage, he said, "If I had not come, this would be the state of mankind. If I had not done, this would be the state of mankind. But since I have come, the word is fulfilled. Since I have come, they hate me without cause. Since I am come, the Father will send his Spirit to be that earnest, to be that comforter, to be that guide. And since I am come, you are to be witnesses of all that you have seen with me from the beginning." Now I ask you tonight, are you that kind of an eyewitness? Are you testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you speaking of his name and of his greatness? You know, perhaps there are some tonight that would say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not very good at telling people that the Romans Road. I'm not very good at memorization. I'm not very good at being able to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ." But I tell you what, you can be an eyewitness of what Jesus has done in your life. And perhaps it's as simple as testifying of where you were and what Jesus did and how he saved you. And you're able to testify of what Jesus has done in your life and how he's made all the difference. Boy, if you think about what we would be if he had not come and if he had not done. Abiding under the wrath of God, abiding and dwelling in darkness, abiding under the damnation and certain penalty of hell. But since Jesus Christ came, his word is completely fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled every promise in his word, and he met the demands of the law. He lived a perfect life. Since he came and since he preached and he taught and showed his word and his works, the Bible says they've hated him without cause. But boy, since he came, the Father sent the Spirit, our earnest, our down payment, our guide, our comforter. And my friend, because he came, you and I have a responsibility to be his witnesses. I trust that this time in the Word of God will challenge each one of us. Boy, think with me for a moment about what we would be if he had not come. And I rejoice tonight in saying, since Jesus did come, we have the opportunity and privilege to be ambassadors, to be eyewitnesses for his great name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for the investment that so many have made to participate in our time of Bible study tonight. Thank you for the presentation from this dear missionary family. Thank you for the opportunity to reflect on the investment of all of our teachers. And as we prepare for our teachers' offering this coming Sunday, Lord, would you put it upon our hearts that we would be faithful in ministering to others and helping others in their time of need. Lord, may we look for ways to be a blessing. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we consider this passage. Perhaps at our devotion time and our personal devotions, or perhaps around the family altar, we have time to reflect on what it would be like in the world if there were no Jesus Christ. And then to take a moment and understand, since Jesus has come, all this has been fulfilled and been made possible. Thank you for our time together in the Word of God tonight. Would you bless each one? We have so many that are dealing with illnesses, and we have many that are on the front lines in dealing with the COVID virus. We pray for all of those folks tonight. We pray that you'd minister to those that have lost loved ones through this time. It has been a very difficult time to have the passing of a loved one. But in fact, we've watched many that have watched their family members go home to be with the Lord or go into eternity. Lord, we just pray that you'd minister to each one of them at this very moment.